These past days have been intense for many people in so many different ways, culminating in this Remembrance Sunday. Remembrance is complicated. It can give rise to all sorts of emotions and can take us by surprise. As I helped pin poppies on the banners we have here as part of our installation, memories came vividly to mind of an event that happened in Northern Ireland in 1987, shortly after I graduated from university. The Remembrance Day bombing in a town called Inniskillen is also known as the Poppy Day Massacre, killed 11 and injured 64. The IRA planted a bomb behind the town's war memorial, and it exploded during the Remembrance Sunday ceremony, held to honour those who had served in the armed forces. I was not there in person, but this event is my strongest memory of the entire Troubles. I have thought of it recurrently over the past 30 years, but not perhaps for the reasons you might imagine. The reason this event has taken up residence deep within me is because it still has something to teach me. And that lesson is found in the words of Gordon Wilson, who lost his daughter Marie, a nurse, in the bombing. In a radio interview shortly afterwards, Gordon Wilson described his last conversation with her as they lay buried in rubble awaiting rescue. She held my hand tightly and gripped me as hard as she could. She said, "Daddy, I love you very much." Those were her exact words to me. And those were the last words I ever heard her say. To the astonishment of listeners, Gordon Wilson went on to add, "But I bear no ill will. I bear no grudge. Dirty sort of talk is not going to bring her back to life. She was a great wee lassie. She loved her profession. She was a pet. She's dead. She's in heaven and we shall meet again. I will pray for the men who did this tonight and every night." He also begged that no one take revenge for Marie's death and pleaded with loyalist paramilitaries not to engage in acts of retaliation. The BBC would later describe the bombing as a turning point in the Troubles because the attack and reaction to it shook the IRA to its core. And pivotal to the change in attitude towards the sort of attack was Wilson's reaction to the death of his daughter. It is true that you can only make peace with your enemies. Over 30 years later, I still cannot quite get my head around his level of forgiveness. He fully embodies Jesus' words in Matthew 5:44. "Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven." Forgiveness is complicated. You will have your stories of forgiveness and lack of it, and I have mine. Last Thursday, I was one of the team from here at the Abbey to lead a short worship service at the Beaches Nursing Home here in town. There we met a man who was in the RAF during World War II. He was in tears, very distraught, asking for forgiveness for how he felt about the enemy all those years ago. His distress was hard to witness. Whatever his story, he remains traumatized by events over 70 years ago. Self-forgiveness is complicated. And the obstacles to self-forgiveness go by so many names: perfectionism, shame, guilt, failure, blame, weakness, regret. Add your own words to the list. What they all add up to is the word human. Human. Something every person on this planet has in common. It is perhaps unfortunate that Matthew 5:48 is translated most often, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect," rather than the more accurate, "Be whole, therefore, as your heavenly Father is whole." This is not about unattainable human perfection in this lifetime. It is about the path to wholeness. And that is a journey we are all on. Sometimes the battleground is within. And conflict within and without is intimately related. And often, underneath the anger, there is fear. This is beautifully illustrated by Terry Achwell, who was born and raised in the West Bank of Ramallah. Hear her words. "When I was 11 years old and living under Israeli occupation, I took a chance, and after curfew, I ran to visit my grandmother, who lives two blocks away from us. On the road, I had to hide under a truck to avoid soldiers who were coming my way. For 20 minutes, I lay there in utter fear, watching their boots walk back and forth in front of the truck. My heart was pounding so fast and loud, I was afraid one of the soldiers would hear it and I would be killed instantly. To calm myself, I started begging God to take mercy on me and save me from those men and their guns. I remembered the words of my mother after soldiers beat my father. She told us to put our fear and anger aside and pray for the poor soldiers who were also afraid because they were away from their homes in Israel. I began to feel bad for the soldiers. I wondered, where do they sleep? And are they afraid of little children like me? What kind of food do they eat? Do they have big families or small families? Their voices began to remind me of my neighbors. My fear dissipated a bit as I pictured the soldiers as people I knew. Although my 20 minutes under the truck seemed like an eternity, I believe that shedding my fear literally saved my life." She concludes, "I believe it is fear we should be fighting, not the other. We are all soldiers patrolling the road. We are all little children hiding under the truck." The soldier and the little child. I recognize that within myself. This speaks to understanding of self and of others, and understanding involves forgiveness of self and of others. Forgiveness, it changes the world within us and the world around us. It changes the future, a future we have because others forsook theirs. As the writer Marianne Williamson states, the practice of forgiveness is our most important contribution to the healing of the world, a world much in need of healing. And we need to practice and practice and practice. I remember when the Amish primary school shooting took place in October 2006 in Pennsylvania, near where I lived. The Amish community's forgiveness of the killer and care for his grieving family was discussed widely in the national media and prompted the book Amish Grace by Stephen Nolt. Nolt feels that the media coverage was both self-serving and inaccurate. It presented the Amish community as having some inherent disposition that it made it easier for them to forgive than it would be for us. How convenient. But they are human, just like us. Rather, as he writes, they can forgive because the ground to a forgiving heart has been tilled over and over. It is cultivated. The regular practicing of forgiveness is built into their community life together. They walk the road to forgiveness step by step, over and over and over. Sometimes that journey is longer than others, but it is not new ground. They are in the habit of seeking God's grace to forgive, and what a witness that is to the world. Just like Gordon Wilson praying every night for those who took the life of his daughter, the choice to forgive is one we need to make over and over and over. And those habits, those practices of forgiveness that we foster in dealing with our friends and our families and our colleagues are really the same habits that get lived out at a community and national and international level, just writ large. They become our witness. If we do not practice forgiveness over the so-called little things, the intended or unintended slights, the careless words that can prompt simmering resentment and grudges for years, we will not have a prayer when life tumbles in and our well-being, our very wholeness depends on forgiving. And I am speaking to myself as much as any of you. We preach what we need to hear. May forgiveness be our daily practice, so that as and when we are called to step beyond ourselves, when the road ahead seems too dark and too complex to see, we will walk with God on a familiar path, one that leads us to still waters, where we and others can experience the peace that passes all understanding. For our world is dying for want of that peace. Amen.